Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service with me, David Whitty. We're going back to November 1968 and an announcement that changed the entire future of a nation. De Beers, the mining company, told the world that they'd found diamonds in Botswana for the first time. And it was all down to the perseverance of a prospecting team led by Manfred Marx.
It all came as a total surprise. In the morning when I woke up, I thought, well, this was just going to be another day. In the evening, I realized that this was probably the most exciting day in my whole life.
Manfred, an eager 23-year-old from South Africa, was in his first job as a geologist and had recently joined a team sweeping back and forth across the ancient watercourses of the Kalahari Desert for evidence of diamonds.
So we usually woke up before sunrise. We had a hurried breakfast, and then we, when I say we, that is the team of 30 samplers, we had to cut our own tracks into the area, and most of the work was then done on foot. I was the only expatriate in the team. The others were all locally recruited. Most of the Botswana men were samplers who had to do the heavy lifting, which was to carry the bags of sand, which we collected every quarter of a mile along these 11-mile traverses. And the only way that we could determine the distance that we'd actually walked was with a bicycle wheel attached to a handle and a cyclometer.
You're doing the same thing every day. What's the chat around the breakfast campfire?
The chat is usually about the weather. The other topic was always snakes. You know, we were always pretty scared of snakes, especially the mambas and the puff adders. And we had some pretty narrow escapes.
I would have thought that you might also occasionally talk about what you'd spend your millions on when you found the diamonds.
Well, we were doing a job. It was the job we were employed to do, and that's what we did. So we were quite happy at the time to simply receive our salaries.
The recently independent Botswana was not rich. It had a population of just over 500,000 who lived in a country which was mostly desert and relied on the export of cattle to fund their economy. And apart from a small amount of gold and copper deposits, it was without mineral wealth. The South African mining giant De Beers had been searching for 12 years for evidence of diamonds, but had found nothing. And for Manfred and his team at the front line of the search, walking 11 miles in the desert day after day in a set pattern was not exactly exciting.
It was simply just a job, and in fact, a fairly monotonous job, which can be terribly boring and soul-destroying in a way.
Are you a pint half full or a pint half empty kind of person?
No, I'm a pint half full, because you need to be an optimist to be in exploration. You know, in my career, as you know, I have found one diamond mine. Most geologists found nothing.
So some geologists actually go through their whole career without such a find and without actually generating anything from their search.
Exactly, David. The geologists who've actually made major discoveries, you can count on your two hands.
That's extraordinary. I've never heard of a career like this where you might achieve nothing at all.
Indeed. But for me, certainly, it was my whole life.
And so we come to the fateful day in April 1967 when Manfred and his team, on their prospecting walk, came across an unusual feature in the flat, arid landscape.
Suddenly I found myself walking up an incline onto a little hill. I noticed that there were a lot of rabbit holes into the side of the hill, and that was quite unusual. I fell to my knees and looked at the ground, and there I saw many, many of these red pyrope garnets and the black ilmenites. But then we continued walking for another mile, and I was still on the hill, and on the ground was still the concentration of these heavy minerals. I realized then that this was something quite extraordinary.
What they'd found was an extremely large kimberlite pipe, indicated by the red and black minerals they saw on the ground. These pipes carry diamonds up from the bowels of the earth.
It's actually what would almost call a fossil volcano, which came to the surface of the earth 90 million years ago.
Having made the discovery, back at camp, radio calls were made, experts flew in, and the serious digging began. The first diamond was found, then another, and another, until De Beers were confident enough to announce to the world on November the 14th, 1968, that they had a new diamond mine in Botswana, and they called it Orapa. The question now, and this is crucial to this story, was who should benefit from the potential wealth of this find?
This can be a very awkward situation to try and get the balance right, because there are so many places in the world where this sort of wealth has usually ended up in bank accounts in Switzerland. But this is not the case in Botswana.
Since you say this is so out of the ordinary, what's the standard sort of division of spoils or division of wealth between the company that finds a mineral resource and the government on whose land it's found?
Well, in a number of countries in Africa, you'll be lucky to get 35%. You take all the risk, you put in all the capital.
Which side will get 35%?
The mining company. And in some places, of course, there's nationalisation where they lose the whole lot.
What happened in Botswana was the chairman of De Beers, Harry Oppenheimer, and the president of Botswana, Sir Seretse Khama, sat down and agreed to divide the proceeds of the diamonds 50-50, an agreement that has lasted to this day and helped Botswana become one of the fastest growing economies in the world for the last four decades. Manfred himself did not get rich from finding the Orapa mine. All he got at the time was a small bonus payment on top of his monthly salary. Do you feel personally responsible for creating the wealth of Botswana?
I'm very much aware that I was part of a team. My fortune was that I was the first person to put my foot onto Orapa, which started this whole process of the rejuvenation of the Botswana people.
Despite spending the rest of his career searching the world for diamonds, Orapa has been Manfred's only discovery. But what a discovery! It changed the future of a country. He still visits Botswana from his home in Australia and recalls an old woman coming up to him and holding his hand on his last trip.
She said in those days when she grew up, she said there was no school. There were very few hospitals. But her grandchildren now have schools, can go to university. The roads are tarred and everything is so much better. And she realizes that has come because of the diamonds. And when I heard that, my heart melted.
That was the geologist Manfred Marx talking to me, David Whitty, for Witness.